There's a sign of the financial crises, which is the sign of the third horseman. And you say, third horseman? It can be. The third horseman's about famine. No, it's not. Go read it. It doesn't mention famine in there at all. The third horseman is carrying what? A pair of scales. What do scales always represent in Scripture? The monetary system. In other words, that monetary system of the last days causes a man to what? A quart of wheat for a day's wages. A denarius, which was a day's wages. In other words, that monetary system brought about a situation where you had high prices and you had pressure on the economy, especially in the area of employment. Hello! To where people have to work all day just to meet their needs. How many of you understand that's manifesting right now, even in the United States of America, in many people's lives? This isn't third world country or emerging countries or anything like that. This is happening in America, first world country. Yeah. That's the sign of the third horseman, but it's happening because of the use of dishonest weights and measures. And everybody got so far into debt, doing some weird thing or another, or just catering to the lust of their flesh like I did, that they ended up in bondage to the beast system, working all day, every day, just to pay their monthly bills. I want to tell you, God is saying, repent and come out of that. The number one thing financially that God's people need to do is get out of debt. There's absolutely no excuse right now for being in debt. And if you don't get out of debt as soon as you possibly can, here's what's going to happen. That debt bubble is going to pop on you. The manifestation of being a slave to the world system is going to come to your door, even if you keep the Sabbath. Why is that? Because it's not about keeping the Sabbath. It's not about celebrating the feasts. It's not about committing adultery on your spouse. It's about keeping all my commandments as a lifestyle. The kingdom has laws, and if you walk in the laws of the kingdom, guess what? The blessing of the kingdom will come to you even in the midst of judgment that's coming to the world. Yeah, that's what God's trying to tell us. There's a sign of the fourth seal. I'm almost done. Hang in there. Sign of the fourth seal is really a big part of the transition. There's four elements of the fourth seal: the sword, pestilence, wild beasts, and famines. The sword is a different sword than the great sword of the red horseman in seal number two. This sword is the sword of Islam. There's two things that are always present in the transition of a society or a system from one society or system to another society or system. Does everybody remember what those were? I taught on it last time. One is financial crises and the other one is war. The financial crisis softens everybody up and war comes and pushes that thing down the birth canal so that it can come out into a new world order, a new order. What is the globalists and the world talking about right now? A what? A new world order. Is that right? And you must understand that our current world order, our current world system, is in the process of collapse. It just doesn't work anymore. And what's happening now are the globalists are transitioning us into that new world order. I took one whole session last time and I talked about how that works. It's called Ordo Ab Kael. Remember I read from Henry Kissinger's article that he did in January of this year about how they were going to bring us into a new world order. And he said financial crises and the threat of Islamic terrorism was going to be that thing that would bring us into the new order. Yeah. But I've been preaching this for how long? Most of you know. Long before he said that, because I've always known what their plans are. Why? Because their plans are in the Scriptures. I just love God's word, Pastor Bob. You can't miss God if you just go back to his word. Amen? Hallelujah. So the sword is the sword of Islam, pestilence and wild beasts. Let's think about that for a minute. Could that be something like chicken flu? SARS? How about swine flu? There's a good pestilence combined with wild beasts or animals. Actually, the word there is therion. It means little beasts. Yeah. What about AIDS? The AIDS virus came from monkeys. Now, we know that it was developed and, you know, enhanced a little bit, but the origin of the AIDS virus comes from monkeys. Does everybody understand how those pestilence and wild beasts are manifesting right now? So we got the sign of the fourth seal. We have the sign of the New World Order and the coming of the anti-Messiah. Because you see, the New World Order is just a code word for one world socialism. How many of you know our country here in the United States is moving towards socialism at breakneck speed? You know, that's a sign. Don't get all upset about it. Don't get all shook up and worried. No, no, the Antichrist is coming. That's a sign. You need to be excited about it. It just proves that God's word is true and every man's a liar. But if you know that sign, you understand why that sign is taking place, you don't go with it. You don't look to the world system for your sustenance. You begin to start pulling out and not walking that way. Start walking in God's ways. Repent, teshuvah, come back to Him. Because as we walk in His ways, we automatically come out from being of that world system. And God's free to bless us. But as long as we're a slave to that system, God will not give us the true riches of the kingdom. He won't do it. New World Order or the One World Socialism is going to be ruled by anti-Messiah. So One World Socialism has to come if anti-Messiah is going to come. In fact, anti-Messiah can't come until One World Socialism comes. So as far as I'm concerned, bring it on! That just means I got more work to do faster. I got to get out there and warn everybody that this is coming. You're not going to stop it. God's allowing it to happen because, see, the New World Order is a place where He gathers every unclean thing. Every unsanctified bird, every unsanctified spirit, it says. Revelation 18, 1 through 3. The New World Order is that place where He brings all the wicked and He gathers them together to pour out judgment on them. Why is that such good news? Because see, He tells us in verse 4, come out of her, My people, so that you don't participate in their sin and receive of the plague. And if we're walking the way of the world, hear the word of the Lord, the plague is going to come on you. Whether you're saved or unsaved, the plague is going to come on you. But if you'll come out and walk the way of the Lord, the blessing will come. Yeah. I know this is a hard message, but it relates to you guys, and you'll see that here in just a minute. The Antichrist, when he comes, is going to bring the full onslaught of the mystery of Babylon. The same mystery that manifested in the plains of Shinar at the Tower of Babel that was so serious that God had to come down and confuse their language. How many of you know that's serious? But see, the full mystery of Babylon manifested there, but nobody understands what that mystery is because, well, we're not under law. We don't need to study God's law, God's commandments, God's teaching and instruction. So we take the word mystery Babylon and we super spiritualize it and we say it's something other than what is really going on. And if we don't understand that sign, guess what? We're going to totally miss it and we're going to end up in it. So we have to understand the times of these signs. In fact, why is God allowing this? Because you see, He's using this to separate us, to sift that which is righteous from that which is unrighteous. Is that right? Yeah. See, this is all one great big honking test. It's all one great big opportunity for us to recognize and study and to get God's law written on our heart and recognize this is God and this is not, so that we can go with God and not with the enemy. And then lastly, there's the sign of the church. You know that the church is the greatest sign that Messiah is knocking at the door? Yeah, the church is the greatest sign. Not all these signs out here. I did a teaching on the sign of His return. And it's the church that's the greatest sign. Because you see, there's two aspects to the church in the last days. The first one is the great end time apostasy. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11. I don't have time to read it. You can read it on your own. But it says that Messiah can't come until the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. And that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. How many of you would say, yeah, amen to that? Yeah. See, the mystery of rejecting God's Torah and walking lawlessly is in the church that says, the law's passed away. We don't have to keep God's law. That's part of the apostasy. That's the foundation of the apostasy. See, because what's going to happen is when the man of lawlessness, when the world, including those in the church, when that lack of Torah written on the heart manifests in lawlessness, which means without Torah, that's when the anti-Messiah is going to come, because everybody will just go with him. You know why? Because they're of the same heart. All the New Age stuff that's coming in, all the spooky spiritual stuff that people just speak out and prophesy that go against the Word of God, I want to tell you what, folks, that's part of the apostasy. Because in the end, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of God's law passes away. Amen? And you say, yeah, but Norm, they're doing all kinds of signs and wonders out there. They're saying we're not under law, but they're doing all these signs and wonders. Please understand that when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of lawlessness does all kinds of what? Lying signs and wonders. In fact, in the last days, the false prophets, you know what the earmark of the false prophets is in the last days? Signs and wonders. And you say, but they're doing signs and wonders. I don't care. Deuteronomy 13. I got to finish this quick. I'm sorry I'm going over, but I'm only doing one message today, so I'm taking a little extra time. I hope you still love me. Deuteronomy 13. This is the acid test for false prophets. It's found in the Torah. Beginning in verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true. In other words, as a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, he rises up, he gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes true. Concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after the gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. And the equivalent of going after other gods is rejecting God's commandments and walking in your own thing. In other words, if they come and do signs and wonders and they say, we don't have to keep God's commandments and we don't have to keep God's law to get saved. I hope everybody understands that. I've taught that enough here. This is not a salvation issue. This is a sanctification issue. This is about being holy like he's holy. Amen? Verse 3 says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. You mean even if he comes and he does a sign or a wonder, he brings a healing? He brings a deliverance? Norm, what if he restores your hand in the healing line? I don't care. You know what the first question is going to be that I have for that guy that healed me? Can you name the Ten Commandments? And are you walking in them? Because if you're not, you can have it back. I don't want it. The signs and the wonders don't mean anything if you're walking in lawlessness. It's a deception of the enemy. But you want to know what? That sign or wonder? You know why God sends that false prophet? Because God sends him. Good question. I'm so glad you asked. Let's just keep reading. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet, that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is what? Testing you. To find out what? If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall what? Keep his commandments, listen to his voice, and serve him and cling to him. In other words, God sends the false prophet. He allows him to come and even do signs and wonders to see if you're going to follow the signs and the wonders or if you're going to follow his commandments. Because you know why? Because a wicked and perverse generation seeks a sign. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Take it up with him. I'll tell you, the Lord's really hot here today. Some of us are caught up in the signs and wonders things. We think the signs and wonders, oh, that's all it. I want to tell you it's not. Signs and wonders, if you give yourself to signs and wonders over the commandments of God, it will destroy you in the end, thus says the Lord. Now there's a real prophetic word. And you say, but that's Old Testament, Norm. Well, I'm glad you pointed that out. Hallelujah. You got great students here, Pastor Bob. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to the man. Let's go to Jesus himself, see what he says about this. Jesus talks in chapter 7, Jesus talks about the false prophets. And that's what he talks about, verse 15 through verse 20. He's talking about false prophets, you know, beware of false prophets, yada, yada, yada. They come to you in wolves and sheep's clothing, etc., etc. Verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, talking about the false prophets. Well, you got to read a little bit before, a little after to get the context. How many of you know context? I've taught you context is king. Is that right? If you take a scripture verse and you take out of the context, you're what Jesus called, you're destroying the law. That's how you destroy the law, is you misinterpret it and misapply it. You fulfill the law. This is the Hebrew culture in which Jesus was ministering in. You fulfill the law by properly interpreting the scriptures and properly applying the law. That's what the Hebrew expression fulfill the law means. It's not all this other gobbledygook that's being taught in the church today. Verse 20 says this, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of God, the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in whose name? In your name, and did we not perform many miracles in your name? In other words, there are going to be those who stand before the Lord on the Bema seat, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do many mighty miracles in your name? What does Jesus say? Look at the very next verse. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Some of your Bibles say iniquity. The word is anomos from anomia, and it means to be without Torah. In other words, those that are out there doing miracles and casting out demons and prophesying in Jesus' name, but then they teach that the commandments of God have passed away, they're not for us today, are who they're talking about. Because if a prophet or a dreamer of dream rises among you and he does a sign or a wonder, but then he says, you don't have to worry about keeping God's commandments because they passed away, you will not follow that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Because I am testing you to see if you love me, and if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. So are you going to give yourself to all of this mystical stuff that's going on out there? Or are you going to follow my commandments, which means you got to crucify your flesh? Yeah. That's where we're at, folks. Crossroads. Transition. The world is transitioning from the kingdoms of this world into the kingdom of God, and we've got to go with it. We're either going to transition in the kingdom of God, or we're going to stay with the kingdoms of this world that's going to be destroyed in the judgment of God when he returns. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's our choice. We can stay and do it the world's way, or we can walk God's way. We can stay in it and be cursed. We can come out and be blessed. Oh, man. That's a good word, huh? Therefore, next verse, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and confesses them. No, and what? Does them or acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And the rock, yes, is Jesus, but what it's specifically talking about, it's talking about God's word. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. And he goes on to say, and those who build their house on the sand, the sinking sand, those who do not do this, build their house on sinking sand, and guess what? The thing crashes and sinks and is destroyed. Please hear me. Do not get caught up in the signs and the wonders. In fact, Pastor Bob and I and Pastor Robert, you remember that time? How many of you were there when we each three had pulpits? Remember when we did that? Pastor Bob was in the middle as the apostle, I was the prophet, and Pastor Robert was over here, the teacher and a pastor. And we just went by the Spirit of God and we began to minister. And we talked about this. And Pastor Bob and I both said, there's a time coming in the near future where everybody's going to have dreams and visions and angelic visitations. And they're going to be going by what the angel says or what the dream or the vision says. And they're going to abandon the Word of God and they're going to take that up. How many, can you see that? All you got to do is watch Christian TV. Not all of it's like that, but there's a lot of it. So that's one sign in the church. The great apostasy in the church is one of the greatest signs that we're in the last days. What's the other sign in the church? The repentant. Those who turn from that and they don't follow the apostate doctrines that God's law has passed away so we can just kind of walk and do what we want. We don't have to keep his commandments, including his Sabbath. How many of you understand for God to change the Sabbath, he'd have to change the entire creation? Because the Sabbath is part of the creation. It'd have to be Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday. That's the way it would have to be. Acts chapter 3. The sign of the repentant. The sign of those who return to the Lord. Beginning in verse 18. But these things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of his holy prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. A lot of prophecies in the Torah, like 200 or 300 prophecies in the Torah, talk about Messiah's first coming. And one of the things he would do is he would suffer and die for the forgiveness of men's sins. Verse 19 says, repent, therefore, and return that your sins or your transgressions of the law may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, folks, it's not enough just to recognize your sin and receive Jesus' forgiveness. Because now once we've been washed clean and made clean, he says, repent. Repent means to turn 180 degrees and now start going the other way. Because if you receive his forgiveness for sin, but you continue to walk in that sin, how many of you know that is not going to sanctify you to God? It's not going to make you holy unto the Lord. That is not what you do to make yourself ready as a bride for your husband. Amen? So once you get saved, you can't repent until you get saved. Does everybody understand that? You get saved and then God gives you his Spirit and that empowers you to return, repent, and return back to the Lord. See, that's one reason why a lot of people don't get saved, because they think they got to repent first. They think they've got to turn first and they got to be good first. No, you can't repent. It's hard enough repenting after you're saved. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Let alone before you get saved. Yeah. Let's keep reading. Repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Everybody wants the refreshing of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, but nobody wants to repent. They think it's just automatic. When you get saved, God's going to send the refreshing. He's not. He sends the refreshing to those who repent. Verse 20. And that he may send Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. The restoration of all things is when the presence, the power, and the glory is restored to the church. The same presence, power, and glory that Adam lost in the garden when he transgressed the law, that same restoration, that same that releases Yeshua to come, because it says what? It says heaven must retain, whom heaven must receive or retain until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. And in other words, the prophets spoke about this restoration where there would be a people who would not only be saved by grace through faith, but they would turn back to God's ways and walk in them. And they would be changed from glory to glory into his image. They would be that bride that would make themselves ready for their Messiah, for their husband, for the bridegroom. That's what all the prophets talked about. What was the greatest sign of Jesus' first coming? It's John the Baptist, wasn't it? Yeah. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Is that right? He's talking about his first and his second coming, folks. Guess what? The spirit of Elijah is here. And it's not just in one man, it's on the body of Messiah. It's coming as an anointing to the church. What was the message of John the Baptist? It was a one-word sermon. Repent! Repent to what? Return to what? Stop walking in transgression of God's laws and return to His ways. That same message is on the church right now. And it's going out to everybody. And there are some who are rejecting it. And there are some who are embracing it and receiving it, which is what Renewed Hope is doing. That's why I love Pastor Bob and Chris and this congregation. I've seen the ups and downs. I get to see it from outside. Just like he gets to see the ups and downs of my ministry, I get to see the ups and downs of your ministry. And I want to tell you what, this is awesome. One of the greatest signs of this is, it goes back to the signs of the appointed time. Ezekiel chapter 20, last scripture verse, and I'm done. Ezekiel chapter 20. We went through all seven of the appointed times of Messiah's first coming and Messiah's second coming. But all of that is designed to reveal Messiah to us. And when Messiah comes, what does he do? He leads us back to where? What is the first appointed time? The Shabbat. He leads us back into that place of God's finished work before man sinned. That is the first appointed time. You want to know what? God gave us that appointed time as a sign. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning in verse 6. I'm going to read a little bit here. We need to read this. Ezekiel 20, verse 6 says, "On that day I swore to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt into the land that I had selected for them, flowing of milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. And I said to them, cast away each of you the detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God." And please hear me, the idols of Egypt are still in the church in a big way. And God is telling us to cast them off. Verse 8, "But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me, and they did not cast away their detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt." In other words, they continued in their traditions rather than walking in the commandments of God. "Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt." So God was going to judge them even in Egypt because they were in Egypt practicing all these detestable things. Some people think that when they were living in Goshen that they were just, oh, everything was good and they were following the Lord. They weren't. Honey, I want to tell you this. You stay in Egypt long enough, you become an Egyptian. You stay in Egypt long enough, you go from freedom to bondage. God has to send his deliverer. He sends the prophet to bring the word of the Lord. And it's more than just a spiritual revelation. It's a manifestation of his word in our lives. "So I took them out of the land of Egypt," verse 10, "and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will be saved." Some of you are looking at me like, it doesn't say that. You're right, it doesn't. It doesn't even say the Jews. If a Jew keeps them, or an Israelite. It says, if a man keeps them, he shall live. Is that right? Read it. That's what the Word of God says. You can accept it or reject it, but you're not going to change it. And you have to love me. Verse 12. "And also I gave them my" what? "Sabbaths to be" a what? "A sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them, who makes them holy." The Shabbat is not about you, or not about God even. It's about us being made holy like He is holy. And that's why He says, "You sanctify my Shabbat." You remember it and you keep it separate from all the stuff that's out there in the world that you're in every week. In fact, the Sabbath is that place where God renews you and refreshes you so that you can go out in the world and take the light of His kingdom in it. And without it, we end up being like the world, which is where a big part of the church is at. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They rejected my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. God, whenever he repeats himself, it's like, pay attention. Okay, my commandments are, my laws aren't about being saved. It's so that you can live and be blessed. And what? And my Sabbaths, they greatly profaned. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to annihilate them. But I acted for my sake, or for the sake of my name, that it would not be profaned in the sight of the nations before whose sight I brought them out. And also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. In fact, the land, obedience, gets you into the land, and the land represents the restoration of God's glory. And you can't get there without being obedient to God. Because they rejected my ordinances, and as for my statutes, they did not walk in them, and even profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart continually went after their idols. Yet my eye spared them rather than destroying them, and I did not cause their annihilation in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not, that was the next generation that he actually took into the land. And I said to their children, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers or keep their ordinances or defile yourself with their idols. In other words, Israel had come up with all these statutes and all these ordinances that God says they're your statutes and they're your ordinances. Sounds like the church, doesn't it? Yeah, the church has come up with all these statutes and ordinances and commandments that have nothing to do with God's word. One is the law has passed away. That's the ordinances of man. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and observe them. Verse 20, and sanctify my Sabbaths, and they will what? Be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am Yahweh your God. I want to tell you prophetically that today, Renewed Hope Ministries, by coming back to a truly Sabbath is a sign. You are a sign in the earth of those who are returning to the Lord. You are a sign in the earth that there is a people who worship God and they want to be holy as He is holy, and they have said no more the ways of the world. We are going to return to our God, because He is our God and we are His people, and He will save us even in the midst of the crises. Amen? Hallelujah. So rejoice, Renewed Hope, because today you have become a sign. Amen? Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.